Well, here is something I've been looking forward to, not only all week, but longer than that. Josh White Jr. was here with us when we were working to support and eventually open the Tuskegee Airmen Memorial, which is now at the Greater Pittsburgh Airport, at Pittsburgh International Airport, as well as in the cemetery in Sewickley. Josh was instrumental in helping to raise funds and especially awareness regarding the Tuskegee Airmen. He was here in studio with us. Rich Dieter helped make that possible, as well as a number of other strong leaders. And now he's back performing in a concert sponsored by Calliope tonight, which we'll talk about in just a moment. But let's welcome a great man, son of an old man, and a great young man. Here's Josh White Jr.
Well, I know you are a playboy, and you've got your women all over town. But if I ever catch you messing with my little girl, I'm gonna lay your body down. So if you don't want, you don't have to get in trouble. If you don't want, you don't have to get in trouble. If you don't want, you don't have to get in trouble. Well, you better leave my woman alone. Well, I see you all around town, and I know just what you do. But if I ever catch you messing with my little girl, I'm gonna do some work on you. So if you don't want, you don't have to get in trouble. If you don't want, you don't have to. If you don't want, you don't have to get in trouble. Well, you better leave my woman alone. Well, I see you in your sports car, and you think it gives you class. But if I ever catch you messing with my little girl, I'm gonna knock you on your behind. So if you don't want, you don't have to get in trouble. If you don't want, you don't have to get in trouble. If you don't want, you don't have to get in trouble. Well, you better leave my woman alone. If you don't want, you don't have to get in trouble. If you don't want, you don't have to get in trouble. If you don't want, you don't have to get in trouble. Well, you better leave my woman alone. Woman alone, my woman alone.
Josh White Jr. at the Saturday Light Brigade. Now, I know that song is Leave That Liar Alone. Have you heard it that way?
No.
I've heard that as a gospel song by a number of artists. If you don't want to get in trouble, if you don't want to get in trouble, if you don't want to get in trouble, you better leave that liar alone.
I've never heard that.
And I was starting to sing Liar when you were singing Woman, and then I said, wait a minute. how do you know that song? How do you know the song as you came by it?
I've known it too long to tell you where I found it.
It gets harder.
Maybe my old man,
yeah,
and or one of his contemporaries. None of my era were younger. They would not know it as well, but probably from the old man's time.
Yeah, well, it's good to have you here. I meant to mention Reg Babanis, too, when we were talking about people instrumental in the Tuskegee exhibit. His name was on the tip of my tongue, And I forgot about that. And now you've got a lot of things going on. One of them is tonight's concert, where you're performing to honor your dad, and also Reverend Johnson will be here, and you'll both be talking about Lead Belly as well. How did this come to be?
Well, Robert and I have been talking about doing something like this for years, and someone asked us to do it in Lansing last year, and nothing was scripted. We just, Lead Belly and my old man worked the Village Vanguard for 6 months. So we take it as the conversation goes as if we walk in as if we just finished our second set. And so we're in the dressing room and there's a couple glasses with tea that looks like liquor and guitars. And then we just, you know, Hudie, I've heard a lot tell me about your life. So then Robert will talk, do Lead Belly and do a song or two that fits that. Josh, same thing. And within it, there will be a song or two we'll play together. And then we'll look up to watch it. Time for the third set. All right, so we get up to say, we get up and as we're leaving, we say, well, what should we start the third set with? And so we walk out trying to decide what we're going to start the show with. And that's a little more than an hour.
Wow, that's a lot of fun. So it is helping to give people a glimpse into the lives of these two men.
That's the thing that's good about it. People can do Lead Belly songs all day, and normal bands. But to know about the man, to know about them, to hear these conversations, you know, we're like my old man. You get to find out that one of the blind men that he led 66, that they witnessed a lynching.
Wow.
They were sleeping in the fields, and blind man Arnold woke my father up with his hand over his mouth so my old man would not make any noise. And then he asked my old man to describe, what's that going on? My father had to describe, at 7 years old, three black men already hanging there, three of them. Dad said there was men, women, and children in this group. And there was drinking and laughing, and every now and then, somebody get a hot poker, put it in the fire, and burn these dead bodies. And they knew they could not move. And as the sun came up, just like roaches with light, they all scattered. And that's when Dad and Blind Man Arnold knew it was safe enough to leave.
How old was your dad?
Seven.
Wow.
He started leading blind men at the age of seven.
That's what I thought I heard you say.
Yeah.
I want to ask you more about that in a second, but
sure.
You were starting to say something else.
Well, no.
They all scattered.
They all scattered, and that's why when my father used to do the song Strange Fruit, my sister Beverly worked with us for years, and that was the only song, if we're standing on the side, that he did, we'd leave. Because you could hear it and see it in him. And it was too much for us.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't know that your old man, if I can call him that too.
Absolutely.
I know that's your name for him. I didn't know he led blind men and that many blind men. I had no idea about that aspect of his life.
My father was coming home from school. And there was a blind man waiting to be crossed, blind street musician. My old man was crossed him, and they asked him if he would like to lead him after school for $2 or whatever it was. And he asked my grandmother, who had to pray over it, and thought that being the eyes for the blind is something her Joshua, who was named in the Bible, from the Bible, that this is a good thing to do. And so my father, for 9.5 years, led 66 different blind musicians.
I had no idea.
Some were not nice.
Hmm.
He said, that blind Joel Taggart, I think, He said he couldn't even get an ice cream cone from the man. But he owned two racehorses.
Good friend of mine who had polio, Paul Dick. A lot of people know Paul. At Paul's passed. Paul was in a wheelchair for much of his life. But Paul and I would talk about lots of things, but he was also very helpful to me when it came to issues of disability, not so much because of polio, but because his career was in human resources, and he knew all sorts of things. And I was once talking about a particular issue, and the subject came up of somebody not being very nice, who happened to also have a disability. He said, Larry, you got to realize that just because somebody has a disability, it doesn't mean they're nice. That the range of human character is in all of us, regardless of how we are. And it's interesting, as open-minded as I like to think I am, pun intended, that was a blind spot in me to not really think so much about that. But you've got creative people and uncreative people and happy people and sad people within all types of
absolutely.
People.
And, absolutely.
It'll be exciting to hear you tonight. I want to talk about some of the other work you're doing too, but why don't would you like to play another song?
I got to retune. I like talking about the Maxie Boys thing. We can get to it in a bit.
Yeah, I'm very interested in that, and just in how you've been doing in general too. You just seem to always be moving about.
Not bad. Can't complain. You know, when you do non-mainstream acoustic music, you do as much as you can when you can. In fact, I'm putting a music together for, you know, the name Oscar Brand?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
He's turning 95.
Wow.
95.
Wow. You know, I got to admit, I wasn't sure if he was still living. And, you know,
he hasn't been really working for years, so his name hasn't been out there.
Yeah, after Studs Terkel, Oscar Brand is one of my favorite collectors of the human condition. And just if you don't know him, broadcaster, singer of sorts, folk music collector, just an amazing guy.
And during the 50s, when there was the blacklisting and all, Oscar had a radio show. Oscar still has the same radio show. He made sure he put his friends on that other people would not put on. He kept that going. I respect that a lot.
Yeah, he the thing I liked about Oscar Brand too was and like Studs Terkel as well and others, he's a very quirky guy. I mean, Oscar released an album of songs about cats. He released an album of the political campaign songs of most of the presidents, starting it as early as he could all the way through. And then a lot of great albums featuring other, you know, musicians. And
yeah.
Just a neat guy.
Yeah. He shares well.
Yeah.
He shares well. And I had the good fortune of traveling with him for a while because he's not playing as well as he used to. So I travel with him and I play for him.
Mm.
And that was fun to be in his company. And his mind is beginning to go. And that's so very sad because he was in the midst of writing a book about he and Woody and Dad, all those people during that time. And I don't know if it's going to be finished. He had great stories. When I traveled with him, great stories about Dad, Woody. Anyway.
Yeah, this had to be incredible. And that's, you know, watching, I saw your eyes light up with Studs Terkel, too. Is just he met so many people and put so many people on the radio
he
for
sure
people
did.
To hear.
He sure did.
You know, he's a raconteur. living very large in Chicago, and a lot of his recordings from his radio programs, not about Oscar Brand's in the same condition. A lot of these are available to listen to, and they're just amazing.
I'll bet. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's. I don't want you to get back attitude. If you're just joining us, by the way, this is Mr. Josh White Jr. I posted a link to his website on our Facebook page at simplyjoshwhitejr.com, and he'll be in concert tonight at Carnegie Lecture Hall, Calliope, Pittsburgh Folk Music Society, along with Reverend Robert Jones, and they'll be doing a tribute to Josh's old band, Joshua, and to Lead Belly.
Again, doing this with Robert is so good because there are some things I did not know about Lead Belly. That it's entertaining and informative, you know?
Yeah.
And that's and because we sit where we are, it's a loose thing. There's no performance anywhere near it. It's just two guys talking and sharing songs. Anyway. Once I lived the life of a millionaire, spending my money and I didn't care. Taking my friends out for a mighty good time. I was buying bootleg liquor, champagne and wine. But then I began to fall so low. Didn't have a friend, had no place to go. If I ever get my hands on a dollar again, I'm gonna hold on to it till the eagle grins. For no, nobody wants you. When you're down and out, in your pocket, not one penny, and your friends, you haven't any. But as soon as you get up on your feet again, everybody wants to be your long lost friend. Mighty strange, without a doubt. Nobody wants you when you're down and out. Watch out.
Thinking about that song this morning because there's a recording of Lead Belly and Bessie Smith doing it on the CD that's being released by Smithsonian. And I don't think I played it this morning. Talk about memory. This is around the time I forget what I did 10 minutes ago. But I know I listened to it yesterday, and it was just delightful to hear those two doing that.
And That was one of Odetta's favorite songs.
Excellent.
Sang that at her memorial.
You mentioned, we were talking briefly off the air, that Lead Belly was prolific in the song. Now, he didn't write that one, but no. He wrote so many different songs.
I promise you, I can't even name them all. One of them, I might have mentioned, is a song, Black Girl, which my father used to do, and I knew for years, didn't know Lead Belly had written it.
Huh.
The man wrote a lot.
He did Good Night Irene, right?
Oh, yeah.
And Rock Island Line was his.
And I think it was Good Night Irene that got him out of jail.
Yeah. I
you know that story?
I'm trying to remember.
Lead Belly's in jail for manslaughter. Texas, 20s, black man. He wrote Good Night Irene, and he was pardoned. Not in the history of black people in Texas, I think, yeah, that ever happened before. He was pardoned for a song.
That's incredible.
That really,
yeah,
really is.
And did he write Midnight Special?
I think so.
I don't know why I look at Josh as if he's got encyclopedic knowledge of every single blues.
But I think so.
I think he did. I'll check on that.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
I'm almost sure. When you mentioned jail, that made me think of that. And the lockdown work you're doing, can you tell me about that?
It's called Maxi Boys Facility. It's been around for a long time in Detroit area. And Robert and I, another friend, started going in there doing music, and I had to be talked into it because teenagers and folk music can be a bad marriage. I didn't want to just jump into it. But I was talked into doing it, and one of the most rewarding things is to work with those young men and find out. We don't find out what their background is, but we knew one young man. In fact, I'm going to do a song. He said two different SWAT teams had come after this 17-year-old boy. The father had left. The way to make money for his family was sell drugs. That was the only reason. Before the old man, the boy had nothing to do with it. But they got him. And this young man, whose song I'm going to do, had not had a good relationship with his mother. In fact, I don't think they really saw each other. And somehow our program got her to come, because we had parents come to hear what their children had written.
So this program, you would help be the muse for kids to express themselves.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
It would help them actually not only come up with, well, probably first some themes and then words and then.
But it also helps get it out for them. I mean, there was one young boy, and I can't think of the song that we got from him, but he was molested by his uncle and his father. My God in heaven. But he wrote a good song about, he wrote words to it that we put music to, which is cool for me because I'm not really a singer-songwriter. I try to be a good interpreter. But it came right. You know, it felt right. The words felt, the music was there for it. It's been waiting to have a place to go.
Well, you uncorked it or somehow allowed it to, you know, to unleash, which is a gift, to provide that environment of trust. And how long have you been doing this work now? Has it been
10 years or more?
And have you?
And we can only do it when we can raise money enough for us to go in there. So it's not as continual as we would like it to be.
It ought to be for what it costs to run facilities like that. They ought to build you into the budget, I would think.
We try to work with that. I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Have you had a chance to see men that you worked with, you know, a few years back, and their trajectory? It's probably not easy to do
no,
that.
No, I know Mike Ball and Robert, we don't see very many of them outside of the facility. I was just there a couple of days ago. We're about to do another program with them starting Tuesday, writing songs. But for me, there were too many faces that I knew. And then I'm thinking, White, they're not here for a week. They're here for a while. We never know how long they're going to be there or, again, what they did. But it's good working with them. They're enthusiastic to get their words out. You know, we'll sit around with eight or nine of them and say, okay, what do you want to write about? So we'll pick a topic, and then everyone will pick out a line, and then we put it all together, and then I'll put music to it. And so it's a rewarding thing all the way.
Yeah.
With us and them.
As I think about it, they are honoring you with their thoughts and feelings as people who they respect, and largely because you've shown enough respect and faith in them. So they're honoring you, and then you in return are honoring them. And that cycle is pretty exciting to think about that. So do you have a song that one of the boys, this is the boy.
This young boy that didn't know his mother very well.
With the two SWAT teams?
Yes.
Yeah.
I put a chorus to it, but it's a great song. My mama left me when I was just a baby boy. Seems I didn't bring her any joy. She left me with some people I don't know. Wonder how she could stoop so low. Well, she let my life just slip away. Not a note or word did she say. Not until the day I sought her out. And that's what the song is all about. It's your mama, gotta love you. It's your mama, gotta hug you. It's your mama, gotta hold you close. It's your mama, oh, I love her so. I wrote her a letter on a lonely day. Wasn't very long, cause I didn't have much to say. I told her that I was her only son, and probably would be her only one. Said I wanna start a relationship. I promised I would not give her any lip. Then we started writing and talking more and more. Now I love her so, and that's what moms are for. It's your mama, gotta love you. It's your mama, gotta hug you. It's your mama, gotta hold you close. It's your mama, oh, I love her so. My mama was just another rocker girl, so I chose to try and rock her world. To surprise her was what I planned to do, so I went and wrote this song for you know who. Well, I love my mama with all my heart, and as a son I try to play my part. I have to tell her every once in a while how she always had the coolest style. It's your mama, gotta love you. It's your mama, gotta hold you close. It's your mama, oh, I love her so.
That's Josh White Jr. I'm trying to imagine the look on that man's face, that boy's face, when he heard that song. He had to be stunned. I just can't. Do you recall that?
It's been a little too long, but yeah. I think it's the feeling of, God, someone said it for me.
Well, yeah. And somebody listened to me enough to say it, because that's evidence. The fact that you took it in and flowed it back out is evidence that you heard his story.
And then to know that the other people in the audience is hearing his story.
Yeah, what a great...
Everyone else knows, and that's... It's a rewarding feeling.
How can people learn... Do you have some information at your website about this program, if people...
No, I No, I should.
Well, you can write to us if you're listening now. I'm hoping there might be somebody that would like to sponsor this kind of program, maybe even here in Pittsburgh.
I was going to say we're willing to travel.
Yeah, because I think it would be remarkable to do something like this, and I can think of the facilities that might benefit from something like this, and I think it's good for the general. Is there a general public for the public to hear, for other people to hear these songs too, other than the ones directly involved?
Absolutely.
Josh White will be in concert tonight along. It's kind of neat. He'll be channeling his dad tonight, the old man, along with Reverend Robert Jones, bringing forth Lead Belly in a show in which they'll play and also represent those two men. It's you've been living with your dad forever. I mean, long after he passed, you're still living with your dad.
I was just mentioning that just the other day because someone was talking to me and my old man is always brought up. In a way, I would like to have a conversation once without his name being mentioned.
Yeah.
But it's going on. So White, live with it. You know, I'm proud of him. I'm proud of what he did. But I've done some things on my own.
Well, that's – I can remember when we first met. I was very – I wanted to talk about you and not your dad. It was very important to me to talk about you and not your dad. And that's kind of where I was leading is this kind of – have you done anything like this before where you deliberately are sort of representing your dad and bringing his music out? Because that's kind of a new thing, I think.
No. And then – again, the way we have it set up with Robert and me, there's a conversation between the two that you are privy to, but we know you're not there. So that's the good thing about it. And again, there are things brought up that that people didn't know about that is very interesting, other than the publicity or the PR that they have on either one of them. Things are brought out in our conversations that would not have been brought up.
Yeah, I remember, seeing... Now, your dad passed in about...
69.
69.
September 5th, 1969.
Okay, so of course it was you, because I remember... It's funny, I remember seeing Josh White, didn't know which one, and it was either the late 70s or early 80s. It's clear which one it had to be. And, it was years later that I did the math to kind of figure that out. Because as you're reaching new people, as folk music always does, it is probably confusing to people at first. Because you both are unique men with legacies all your own. What his and yours.
Well, I'm grateful. If you do what you like for a living, you can't beat it.
Mm-hmm.
You'll never make as much money as your mother wants you to make, but to be able to sustain yourself. And we've raised six kids, and
wow.
And so it's. It feels good.
Are any of your kids playing music?
Now, I've got a Josh White III.
Boy, does he have a lot of pressure. I'm sure you've actually made it clear that he does not.
Well, I worked on it. He's now 52 years old. But he's a mime. He studied with Marcel Marceau for a while. So he's done a lot of different things.
And then are either...
But he doesn't carry a tune well.
Ah. Well,
my other son, Jason, he sings, but he's a chef and he just loves doing that. So I have no one to come along and sing with me.
There's no heir. I was going to say we can mention Josh the third not carry the tune well because he can't hear us. But mimes can hear. They just can't.
Very good. Very good.
That takes a lot of skill, though, the ability to move your body and to do those things. I am in awe. We have a local, always nationally known, his name's Dan Kamen. He was the consultant for the Chaplin movie, the actor in it, whose name I can't recall. But I watch what Dan does. I can barely walk across the street.
And when you're really close to them.
Yeah.
And, of course, they stay within themselves. It really is a very cool thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very cool thing.
Josh White Jr. Here with us. And there's always so much to talk about. Do you want to sing about anything?
I do. Because I heard this story not that long ago. My old man, working at Cafe Society in New York City. Cafe Society in the Village was the first integrated club. Not until 1940. Before 1940, there were no integrated clubs in New York, and it's still hard to grasp that. Anyway, so my old man does a show, and these two guys come up and ask him, I mean, tell him how much they enjoyed the show, and they're from Australia. And somewhere in the conversations, Dad said, I don't know any Australian songs. Sing me a song. So they sang Once a jolly swagman sat beside a billabong under the shade of a coolabar tree, and he sang as he said, okay, fine. My old man thanked him. Now, this is before I was born. And this is the only way I've ever heard my old man do the song. I've heard the song. Mm-hmm. Don't do it too low, White. Once a jolly swagman sat beside a billabong under the shade of a coolabar tree, and he sang as he sat and rested while his billy boiled. You come a waltzing, Matilda, with me. Waltzing Matilda, waltzing Matilda, you come a waltzing Matilda with me. And he sang as he sat and rested while his billy boiled. You come a waltzing Matilda with me. And down come a jump buck to drink beside the billabong. Up jumped the swagman and seized him with glee. And he sang as he stowed that jump buck in his tucker bag. You'll come a waltzing Matilda with me. Waltzing Matilda, waltzing Matilda, you come a waltzing Matilda with me. And he sang as he stowed that chum buck in his tucker bag. You come a waltzing Matilda with me. Then down come the squatter, he was mounted on his thoroughbred. Up jumped the swagman and seized him with glee. Sang as he stowed that jump buck in his tucker bag. You'll come a waltzing Matilda with me. And down come the squatter, who's mounted on his thoroughbred. Down come the troopers, 1, 2, 3. Now where's that jolly jump buck? that you've got in your tucker bag. You come a-waltzing Matilda with me. And up jumped the swagman, and he plunged into the billabong. You'll never catch me alive, cried he. And his ghost may be heard as you ride beside the billabong. You come a-waltzing Matilda with me.
Josh White, interpreted by Josh White Jr. at the Saturday Night Brigade. We'll give the old man some credit there for that.
Absolutely.
That's a neat, as soon as you started to sing it a cappella, I was thinking, now what is this going to sound like? Done the way your old man would do it. And
it was a story that he, I don't say made into a story, but you heard the story more.
Absolutely, because if you don't know that song, you know, it's typically done da 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 da. I think it's the, if it's not the national anthem, it's the national song.
It is now.
Yeah.
My old man used to call it the unauthorized theme song of Australia, and now it is.
We need him to get behind his spirit, to get behind this land as your land.
Yeah, really.
Nothing against the Star Spangled Banner, but it would be kind of nice to have a more singable and perhaps more livable.
Yeah.
Sustainable song.
Yeah, yeah,
you can only
have
so many bombs bursting in air. And we all, you know, from it never occurred to me until just this second, one of the first songs we learned to sing in children is glorifying bombs bursting in air. Never thought about that.
Wow.
Address all letters to not to me. It's a meaningful song, but I always thought This Land Is Your Land would be a great national anthem, or maybe America the Beautiful. Josh White Jr. is here again. You know, I want to be sure you know he's in concert tonight. A tribute to Lead Belly and Josh White, Black Fathers of American Folk Music, that they are. And he, along with Reverend Robert Jones, will create this spectacle before you as you get to kind of see behind the scenes and then the scenes themselves as Josh White Jr. Presents his dad and Reverend Robert Jones presents Lead Belly. I was curious how Detroit is doing. We hear so much about Detroit in the news, yet it's rare that we actually talk to people there. And I think there's some positive things beginning.
Well, you know that you're always going to hear some more negative stuff than the things that are going on.
Yeah.
So personally, I don't listen to it. I know we're forging ahead. I know there are setbacks here and there, but we keep going. And that is the most important thing for me to think on.
Yeah. I've been to Detroit maybe half a dozen times and never in great times. And I'm rooting for Detroit, and I do see some positive things happening there.
Yeah, I think that little electric car might help.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're going to have time for a little more talk and one more song if you'd like. Are there things we haven't talked about that we should talk about? There's albums available, which I know you can find just
albums
about anywhere. Yeah, yes, how quaint of me. You know, I mentioned this earlier this morning, and some of the people in this room were with me. I'm finding myself using expressions that nobody understands. I said separate the wheat from the chaff the other day, and nobody knew what I meant.
Really?
I might as well have said, I'm taking my horseless carriage to the boulevard. and albums, that is kind of quaint. The other day, this was about a year ago, I was heading home, and I said I really want to get home in time to watch might have been Mad Men or some TV show, and the person said to me, "How quaint. You make appointments with your television to watch programs when they choose to show them to you." And true, I guess. But, you know. Oh, my. But, yes, albums are available and CDs, and there's lots of stuff if you go to joshwhitejr.com. And I do hope you'll consider, if you are in a position to host a songwriting workshop that leads towards reconciliation and understanding of other people's conditions. Frankly, I think it would be interesting to do with older people as well as younger. I'm sure Josh would be interested in doing that. And do consider going to tonight's concert. It's a beautiful hall and really a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure. Yeah.
What would you like to finish up with?
I'll leave you out with another tune of my old man's. This life I'm living won't let me stay here long. His wife is gone, she was all right with me. His wife is gone, she was all right with me. He'd give her $94, she'd give me $93. Democracy is mine. I mean democracy without the color line. Oh, Sam says, put on your apron, son. I found out last night we are gonna run. Well, I believe I'll go back home. I believe I'll go back home. 'Cause this life I'm living won't let me stay long. One more time. I said I believe I'll make a change. I believe I'll make a change. 'Cause this life I'm living won't let me stay here long.
Josh White Jr., thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me back again. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too. You know, you can see Josh's dad. You can see or hear him doing that song on YouTube. It's up there.
Really?
That song.
Wow.
I don't think you could. I think it's a record. I don't think it's a film. But I may be wrong. Again, I can't say it enough. Josh White Jr., just JR for Jr., .com is how you can find him and look for him tonight at Carnegie Lecture Hall. Thanks to Gio Garcia, great mix, and John Bindley for being here this morning too, and Ricky, thank you as always.